Okay, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us for Spirit, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires the way. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the Orthodox Union's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and coordinator and host for Spirit. The OU created Spirit several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for baby boomers, empty nesters, retirees, not yet retirees, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, Spirit continues to be an ideal way to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today's session will highlight NCSY, one of the Orthodox Union's jewels of programming. I am sure that most of you are very, very familiar with the important work of NCSY. Your grandchildren may be involved, your children may have been impacted. And in fact, many of you probably played a part in NCSY's history of 67 years of bringing Jewish teenagers closer to Judaism. It is an honor to have my OU colleagues from NCSY, Rabbi Yehoshua Marchek, Director of Alumni, and John Ackerman, Associate Director of Alumni, present for Spirit, and an honor to turn the Spirit Forum over to them. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rebbetzin Steinig. What a great intro. It's really an honor to be with all of you today. We are very excited to be here addressing such an important audience with such an incredible topic. But let's get to it. Rabbi Marchek, thank you very much for joining me today and for joining all of us today here. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you, John. And thank you, Rebbetzin Steinig, for the opportunity to speak to the Orthodox Union community to discuss the great and proud work that we have done, are doing in NCSY for so many years.
Okay, excellent. I think that we're gonna get to many of the different things that NCSY does currently and the way we serve the community currently, but let's go back to the beginning. The beginnings of NCSY, how did it start? What were things like in the beginning?
So, like many, many great accomplishments in this world, the beginning was a little tough and a little bit challenging, as they say. It actually had multiple years, I believe 2 years exactly, to try to get off the ground before that didn't go so successfully, before Rabbi Pinchas told her he should be well, and Shebe Refuah Shleima took the helm in 1959 on NCSY. And back in those days, I remember speaking with him in his living room in Chicago about 7-8 years ago, and we were discussing those years. And he was telling me how year one, he started off with a whopping full-time salary, and then some, if anyone's ever done community work, of $7,500 for the year as his annual starting salary. And with a lot of, pats on the back, but winks behind the shoulder that, let's see if this is actually successful. There weren't a lot of Orthodox youth directors in those days. Even the synagogues themselves didn't really have any, many Orthodox youth directors themselves, even though they were inside of Orthodox shuls. And the synagogues, people were coming straight up to Rabbi Stolter and making comments to him and saying, you'll last only a few months and this will be gone just like the other people have been gone in the past. Comments like the OU is not really committed to making this happen. NCSY and the OU have no real understanding or budget or staff of how to get this done. So these are the kind of encouraging words, one might say, in a very sarcastic way, of the way Rabbi Stolper walked into his experience in NCSY. And we see the work that he put in all those years to build a foundation, which every building is standing on. I actually was listening, to the Rav of my shul, Rabbi Uri Orlian at Congregation Shari Torah in Lawrence, and he was talking about the fact that you need to build, more and more columns to be able to build a building. He says if you just keep, building on top of nothing, everything is going to topple. And we could see from the infrastructure and from the foundation that Rabbi Stolper put in, the hard work and the challenging situations he was in, that anything that NCSY has accomplished after all these years was all built on his Mesirat Nefesh and the like. And the hottest topic of those days was probably the social dancing topic. And social dancing, you know, and I even remember as in my childhood, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other people can relate, is that a lot of the Orthodox synagogues and Orthodox institutions, even as late as the, you know, 1980s, were still having social dances as part of their regular programming for the shul dinner or for the Orthodox day schools, you know, dinner as being part of it. So even more so, you know, in the teenagers of the 60s and the 70s, this was a hot button topic of saying, hey, you know, we need to go ahead and have that opportunity out there because we need to attract the kids into the shuls. And Rabbi Solper, you know, behind his Rav, who Rabbi Solper himself was a Talmud of Rav Yitzchak Huttner of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn, felt that this was a line in the sand that he had to establish and move forward past. That there was so much more that we could offer the youth of today if we would go ahead and start it off on a halachic basis. And that was big, challenging words and challenging concepts at that time period, to be able to go ahead and to establish what would be built on a Torah organization on something that was not the accepted practice across the spectrum. And it was a challenging situation, especially because they were so concerned during those years of losing every one of their kids to other types of enticements. You know, this was the late 50s, the 60s, and all of the social implements of that were going on in those days of the hippie generation and the free love. And to start off with saying there's not even going to be social dancing at our events, it made it a very challenging situation to promote. And Rabbi Solper held his ground behind his Rosh Hashiva. But more importantly, he imbued NCSY, and the NCSY community was imbued with this ruach, this overwhelming experience that is what we all are so familiar with NCSY today. But it all started from this period of time in the 60s of going ahead and building off of that. And there were highlight people, you know, throughout the movement, throughout NCSY. That we could start the list, but we would never be able to end the list. One notable mention I want to point out, because again, if we were to start the list, we would never be able to end the list. But I just want to point out, an advisor named Ezra Lightman. Ezra Lightman was a superstar advisor. He impacted every region. He would go around the country and he would build on that excitement, that energy. He was corresponding with kids all across the country. You know, this is way before the days of smartphones, way before the days where, if I remember, I don't know if even someone a few years younger than me might remember that, you know, to call out of state, you know, except on the weekends and after 11 o'clock at night was an expense. You know, he was sitting down in that time period and he was corresponding and writing letters with his NCSYers on a regular basis. But the punchline, he was developing educational programs across the country. He cared about every kid. Now, Ezra Lightman, I never met. And the reason why I never met Ezra Lightman is for one reason only, is because he passed away about 4 months after I was born. Ezra passed away in August of 1971 of lymphoma, suffered of cancer. And from what I understand and what I've known for I've been in NCSY since the mid-1980s. So for all of my decades in NCSY, you know, I've heard the name Ezra Lightman across the board for all these years. And the impact that he has even today, and all the other advisors that go along past that, and all the other NCSYers, you know, again, we could write stories and stories and volumes, and I'm sure anyone that's watching this program could has their own stories, or know people, or involved with people, or themselves with those people. That we could write those stories and those logs about. And we would never be able to finish this conversation in any stretch of the imagination if we were to start that. But I wanted to take another aspect of this history and in just a moment, you know, just a moment or two. You know, NCSY was very, was cutting edge in the sense that, you know, yes, we held to the standards of Torah-focused Judaism, but even more than that, the setup was very different than people were used to. You know, there were concepts of trying to set up the NCSY, like the Boy Scouts of America, with group leaders and a couple of volunteers and such. But primarily one or two figure, you know, people on the top, and then leading a run of kids. NCSY did something very different, and Ada Yom HaZeh, even until this very day, is very different than the typical model of youth work. We do have paid professionals. We do have adults that might be a little bit graying, you know, in the whiskers. But the secret sauce of NCSY comes from something that is very special to NCSY, and that's the NCSY advisor experience. The NCSY advisor experience is very different than other youth organizations, is because we believe it is, and we use it a lot, utilize it as the backbone of our organization. Taking collegiates, taking B'nai and B'not Torah to go ahead and lead NCSY as big brothers and big sisters. So yes, you have administrators, and you have paid staff members and city directors, as we call them, people living within the community all over the country. But the relationships that the NCSY, you know, boy and girl advisors who are collegiates, who are B'nai and B'nai Torah and yeshiva, went to seminary or yeshiva in Israel, their role modelship, their big brother, big sister, their chavruta programs are what's so critical to the whole NCSY experience, because it's very nice for us to run programs as, you know, from all the way on top from an advanced age. But when you're in the trenches with someone that is just a couple of years older than you, someone you could admire, someone I could say, I want to be just like Mike. I want to be just like, you know, Debbie. I want to be just like my advisor, Yaakov. That's a whole different experience, because you can reach there. You can reach out and taste that feeling, you know, and I'm sure we're going to get back to that in this conversation. And I don't want to, you know, just keep going and going and going, but I'll tell you that when I, you know, John and I have been working together for many years. But there was a period of time that I stepped out of NCSY, and I was part of the administration of one of the yeshiva day schools on Long Island. And it was actually at that point in time that John Ackerman came into NCSY as one of those advisors that I just mentioned. As I was leaving, I was all of 28 years old. John was a few years younger than me. And I saw that energy, that light, that excitement, that Ezra Lightman, you know, so to speak, and John when he came in, and that energy that John, and he has it all today also, don't let his young looks, you know, kid you, but he's got many decades in NCSY as well, and tremendous stories. And I actually want to ask John, how did you get involved in NCSY, and how did you become an advisor? Because myself, you know, maybe we'll get back to me in a minute or two, I was in an NCSYer, but John, you weren't an NCSYer, and you didn't grow up in the streets of Brooklyn either. So, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you for that intro. It's quite something to live up to. I will tell you that, and I'll tell you how I started in just a moment. I will tell you that when I did come in, I kept on hearing from all the advisors and the NCSYers like, oh, you know, you're about 6 months too late. You know, if you would have been here 6 months earlier, you would have met Rabbi Yehoshua Marchak. And boy, that was when he was here, you know, it was incredible. And he's a legend. And I kept on going, okay, for years, I kept on hearing, like, I kept on missing Rabbi Marchak. And what an incredible opportunity. Here we are years later that we're working together for me to kind of close the circle, I guess, of that experience in the very beginning. But like you said, I grew up not in Brooklyn. I grew up in a small town called Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. And I did not grow up in an Orthodox community, came there years later. There wasn't NCSY in Minneapolis when I was growing up. But I was very fortunate that I eventually went to Israel for a year and a half. My roommate, when I was in my Shana Bet year, learning at a yeshiva in Israel, was the former regional president of what was called Long Island NCSY at the time. He kept on telling me, when we get back, when we go to YU, you have to be an NCSY advisor. You have to be an NCSY advisor. When we came back at YU, that was really when I kind of got my feet wet with Long Island NCSY. The night before my first ever NCSY event as a volunteer, as an advisor, I stayed in a community called West Hempstead, which is kind of ironic because I now live in West Hempstead years later. And so that has certainly come full circle for me. But I started as an advisor on a small junior NCSY Shabbaton. Junior NCSY at the time was sixth through eighth grade in North Woodmere. And even then with the younger kids, not even yet dealing with high school kids, you kind of saw the magic. It was really, really incredible. You saw these kids who were really coming because they were excited about their Judaism. They wanted to learn, they wanted to grow. And they were kids. Many of them had not even had their bar mitzvahs yet. And that was really, really an amazing experience. That kind of spilled over the following week, because once I was in, I was really in. I spent my first Shabbos on an NCSY high school Shabbaton. It was midwinter regional, and that was it for me. I think I had a streak of about 17 years where I didn't miss a single regional Shabbaton. So I got hooked immediately. Listen, for somebody like me who grew up in a small town in Minnesota and then eventually came to big town, New York and the Long Island suburbs, it was really a unique experience being able to, first of all, seeing so many Jewish people who were excited about being Jewish, who weren't hiding their Judaism, who were passionate about their Jewish growth. You know, the idea of, you know, where I grew up, people would oftentimes wear a baseball cap to hide the fact that we were Jewish because we were a little bit nervous. We didn't want to necessarily be asked by strangers, you know, is that thing that you're wearing on your head to cover up your horns? And I did see that happen before. But to see people so thrilled, so positive, so absolutely excited about their Yiddishkeit was incredible. And when you sort of take that mixed with the outstanding people who work at NCSY and who have worked at NCSY, and you sprinkle in some of the NCSY magic, which if you've ever been on an NCSY Shabbaton or with somebody who is just on an NCSY Shabbaton, you kind of know what I'm talking about. It's an energy, it's a vibe, it's something that that really is hard to explain with words. But as some of you may know, NCSY summer programs currently is going on in Israel, really in Israel and across the United States right now, but specifically, as we're recording yesterday in Israel, NCSY Kollel led a Kumsitz at the Kotel on Tisha B'Av, which was incredibly powerful. And it's a little bit of that NCSY magic. It's a little bit of singing with a little bit of creative energy kind of sprinkled in, and you have something unique and something powerful. That aspect really, really rang true for me across many years of Shabbatons. And, you know, it ultimately went from something fun to do on a weekend to a hobby that I was passionate about and ultimately transformed years later into a career that I became extremely passionate about and the place that I met my wife that I'm married to that and thank God that we now have four amazing girls with. So, you know, I think that that the NCSY experience as an advisor is sort of the glue that brought a lot of this together for me from my YU years up until now. And, you know, once I got hooked, I was never able to let go. But, you know, that's my story in a nutshell, if you can put so much into a nutshell. But Rabbi Marchak, I know that as I started, you were the legend. You were the one that when I came in, everyone said, if only you had met Rabbi Marchak. So tell us a little bit about how you came and got started and what it is that kind of hooked you into this.
I guess to a certain degree, I grew up here on Long Island. You know, I've spent most of my life, I spent my entire life on Long Island in one community or another. And I was always affiliated with an Orthodox synagogue. We weren't necessarily always Shomer Shabbat, but we were always traditional and we were always affiliated. And to an Orthodox synagogue, I went to an Orthodox Hebrew school. My brother went to the Orthodox Hebrew school. And, you know, in the middle of elementary school, you know, my brother was inspired from his teachers from the Hebrew school to want to make a switch, and my parents made the decision to switch us to a day school on Long Island. You know, I didn't always fit in. You know, it was definitely challenging for me as far as the reality of my life at home to the education system we were having. And by the time I was in 10th grade, I kind of said, you know, thank you, you know, but I think I've had enough. And I moved on to public school. I moved back to public school. And during my 1 year in public school, and the 1 year is the critical part of this conversation, I heard about this group of guys that were getting together to play organized hockey or semi-organized hockey in my community. And I came down there and, you know, I came to play. I knew a face or two from around the neighborhood, around my synagogue, but I didn't really know them that well. And I found out that this was, this group turned out to be this group called NCSY. And they were getting together to play hockey together, and they were playing against these other chapters around Long Island. And the coach of my team and the person that I would say was so influential in getting me involved with NCSY was a gentleman named Rabbi David Beitler. Rabbi David Beitler should have a refuah shlema. Right now he's in the midst of his own medical issues. If anyone can please have in mind, Rabbi David Eliezer Ben Batya, I could use a refuah shlema. And he had a tremendous impact on my life. And because of my engagement in this very basic hockey experience and becoming friendly with the other guys in the chapter, I decided to go with them to a Shabbaton. And when I got to that Shabbaton, there was a regional director, that was his name. His name is the title of the position, was a gentleman by the name of Rabbi David Orlovsky. And Rabbi David Orlovsky, as many of us know, is now the world-renowned speaker, Talmud Chacham, but he always had a tremendous sense of humor and a tremendous personality. And I became incredibly close with him, with my local advisors, which was Joe and Julie Werfel. And Joe Werfel was actually a hero in Har Nof during those attacks a number of years ago in the shul where, terrorists came into the shul, you know, throwing machetes around. And he was one of the two men who actually fought them off, and put them in their place, so to speak. And that impetus of getting involved with the chapter and those type of personalities and the relationships that I had at Adayam Azeh to this very day, who had made Aliyah, his daughter is flying, is actually about to board a plane and fly into Israel. Where is she being? Who's picking her up in the airport? I'm picking her up at the airport. Where is she going? She's coming to my house. She's sleeping over here. Why? Because we don't call ourselves friends. We call ourselves those childhood buddies. We're blood brothers. And I can go one after another after the other. Last week, I was with another one of my fellow chapter members from those days, Dr. Ida Lavi, who lives now in Silver Spring, and lives in Baltimore, Maryland. And I went out to dinner with him and his wife just last week, and my wife, you know, and these relationships just, you know, complement on each other. And that brought me into the power of NCSY. It was the friendship, it was the advisors, it was the energy of growth that an NCSY experience imbues infuses into the teams. And it's tangible in the environment. And because of that, you just want to be a part of that energy, that positive peer pressure. You know, we know so much about peer pressure in today's day and age, and how negative peer pressure can be, but peer pressure can be incredibly positive. And that was the NCSY experience I had. And because of that, I switched myself back, you know, with my mother's blessing, back to Yeshiva Day School for 11th grade. And I finished there and I ended up, you know, going to Israel and studying in Yeshiva or Yerushalayim. And then I came back to America, and all I wanted to do was be an advisor for NCSY. And I took that time to be an advisor for NCSY. At the same time while I was in Yeshiva, at the same time when I was studying Torah, I was in Yeshiva Shar Yashiv, also in Far Rockaway in Long Island. And it was so important to me because, as I mentioned earlier, Rav Huttner from Chayim Berlin was the backbone of inspiration for Rabbi Stolper to start NCSY. Well, he had another Talmud, one of his other Talmidim, and that was Rav Shlomo Freifeld. And Rav Shlomo Freifeld was inspired by Rav Huttner to open up Yeshiva Shar Yashiv. So here I had my world colliding, my NCSY world inspired by Rabbi Stolper and my Shar Yashiv world inspired by Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, all coming together from the same source, which was Rav Huttner. And just to sidetrack just for a second on my story a little bit, you know, Rav Huttner was not the only one that stood behind and why NCSY got such a haskama, such a shot in the arm to be able to do what it does. Rav Huttner said that the tshuva movement that was going on during this, you know, the post 1967 years, you know, of the Six Day War represents an opportunity. I'm going to quote it actually. Represents an opportunity which only arrives once in many generations, offering the privilege to accomplish unusual and mighty tasks. That's what Rav Huttner said to Rav Stolpler. And he built on that. And it wasn't just Rav Huttner that felt that way. Rav Gifter, the Telz Rosh Hashiva, was behind NCSY. Rav Leibowitz, Rav Simcha Wasserman, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Rav Aryeh Kaplan, all of them stood behind, not just from the far, but came to NCSY events, came to NCSY Shabbatonim, came to Yarchei Kalid. The Hanhala of Yeshiva University were regulars at NCSY. And because of that, the advisors and the entire organization of the OU felt so empowered to see the Torah world standing shoulder to shoulder with NCSY. And that inspired it. So just, you know, getting, and that's what recruited our male advisors and our female advisors, because of that haskama, those haskamot from the Gedolei Yisrael. But I'm going to fast forward a little bit into my NCSY experience. NCSY inspired me to take my learning in yeshiva so much more seriously. Because if I was going to be a role model to my NCSYers, to my Talmidim, then I had to be a Ben Torah myself. So even everyone thinks that the advisors have such a hashpa, such a roshim, such an impact on the teenagers. But actually the position itself inspires the advisors to become that much greater. So, and because of that, I got involved even further in NCSY. I became a chapter advisor, which led me to become the program director for all regional Shabbatonim, which eventually brought me to a position as being the Shabbaton coordinator after chapter Shabbaton coordinator after I got married. And I ran NCSY Shabbatonim, you know, every other Shabbos for, you know, 10 months a year for 3 years. And then that elevated me into a position to ready to become a director of junior NCSY, which as John mentioned, only a few years before John walked into the organization. And then I left. I left for 11 years until I came back some 11 years ago to become the director of NCSY alumni, where I am today, and having an opportunity now to go from the NCSY experience as a public school student, the NCSY experience as a yeshiva day school student, the volunteer advisor, the community-based advisor, the regional Shabbaton, you know, director, regional director, and now part of the Hanhala of national NCSY. So it's a big plus to have had so many opportunities to have and perspectives of seeing this organization from beginning, from on the bottom of from the bottom and the most important rung, which are the kids, to you know, a little bit of a different perspective as I said, as I have a couple of gray whiskers in my beard.
Well, it sounds amazing even with the break, but you know, I guess they say NCSY is like riding a bike, you know, it always comes back to you. So, you know, it's interesting as we sort of walk through these memories and walk through all of these experiences that you and I really share. You know, we've both sort of referenced our own backgrounds where our Jewish growth was a huge factor in both of our lives. And certainly I think for many of our friends and many of our colleagues in the NCSY world, growth is a key piece of the NCSY experience. Can you tell us a little bit about how NCSY functions and the role that it plays? As we talked about, you know, the opportunities with the Baal Tshuva movement, but how does Kiruv, I guess, specifically fit into NCSY's role in the Jewish community now?
It's a tremendous point that you make. And I think that the word Kiruv is redefining itself, you know, every day, and has tremendously redefined itself in the last 15 years. I'm actually reading a new book that just came out about Rabbi Meir Schuster. And as many of us know, Rabbi Schuster was the first face that many backpacking, ponytailed Jewish young men and women saw at the Kotel for decades, from the early 70s until 2000 in the Intifada. Rabbi Schuster, you know, basically, who came from a non you know, non-Orthodox background, and became a star of the Jewish people, you know, basically plopped himself in front of the Kotel every day and in other places, and would ask simply, what time, do you have the time for these young men and women? Would you like to speak to a wise man and the like? And that period of time was, as Rav Huttner mentioned, was dripping with cure of opportunity and people searching and the like. The tides of the world have changed, and there's definitely a different sense out there. But Kirov is something that has been around, you know, basically since Abraham and Sarah. And Kirov will never change, because basically it is bringing and connecting from one neshama to the next, and to inspire that neshama to search for more and to help guide and grow that neshama. And because of that, you know, NCSY went from dealing with a community of, you know, and again, it was a different time period where public school kids of those days were probably as much and even more Jewishly inclined than a lot of our yeshiva day school kids today, because of the culture and the community that we were living in. My mother spoke about her childhood, you know, in Brooklyn, you know, in public schools and the like, you know, of everyone being, you know, Jewish and everyone keeping Shabbos and the like, or, you know, many were. And because of that, we needed to connect them and move them forward. Today, you know, we are still engaging in the traditional NCSY Kirov programming, our JSU programming that are going on in public schools all across the country, where we have these Jewish culture clubs where, you know, our NCSY staff members are coming in after hours and giving and talking about Judaism, talking about Hebrew culture and living and how to live as a Jew in the public school classrooms themselves, as an after-school elective that students can come to. We bring in pizzas, we bring in donuts, we do projects with them, we have discussions with them, and that's our entry-level engagement into the public school community. In today's day and age, and as John referenced earlier, you know, we're sitting here and we have a major Yom NCSY that took place today, and where you have hundreds of public school kids, hundreds of public school kids that are experiencing an Israel trip and are going ahead and they're sitting down with wise people and wise men and advisors and hearing about film for the first time, tasting Shabbos for the first time, seeing Eretz Yisrael for the first time. That hardcore public school experience is happening out of Yom Hazeh, and kids are becoming religious today. Working on the team with John and myself is a young woman from Minnesota. John's not the only NCSY personality from Minnesota. She, a couple of years ago, did not know what Shabbos was. She didn't know what Kashrus was. And she went on one of our NCSY summer programs, our TJJ, the Ann Sampson, you know, Jewish journey. And, you know, Jerusalem journey, excuse me. And the reality is that today, she just got back from Israel. And you know where she spent her year in Israel? In a school run by Rabbi David Katz, MMY. And that Rabbi David Katz himself, who is the head dean of a major girls' school in Israel, was a public school NCSYer himself. And we see that we see that chain of events that keeps flowing on and on from generation to generation. So we're seeing public school kids today, and she's just the tip of the iceberg, this young lady, is just the tip of the iceberg. But we see scores and scores and scores every year. John and I spend a tremendous amount of time raising money to be able to scholarship kids to be able to learn in yeshiva and seminary. And we then share that money with them and divide it up to them. And that's what we're working on right now, to be able to get kids there for this coming Elul. But on the same note, our yeshiva day school kids also need that little oomph that's going on. That going to, you know, learning in a sheer classroom and with all the activities that go on in yeshiva day school, sometimes still leaves that missing factor. Again, that secret sauce of our advisors and the NCSY experience. And our NCSY Kollel program, our NCSY Mechlelet programs are going on in the summer right now, but all through the year, we're running public school, yeshiva day school programming for NCSY as well. So the OU has taken this responsibility with NCSY and said, we need to inspire and impact all of our kids, not public school kids, not the yeshiva day school kids, not the co-ed schools, not the single gender schools, but all of our kids, sometimes in the same room, sometimes in different rooms, sometimes in the same building, sometimes in different buildings, because different programs work for different kids in different situations. But they're all effective, and they're all part of the Kirov model that we work with today.
That's incredible. And what you're saying is exactly right. And it really sort of strikes a personal chord for me. I think one of the magic ingredients that I referenced earlier is the fact that, as you said, NCSY does connect to so many types of people from so many kinds of backgrounds, and that regardless of not only background, but where someone comes from, that a kid from Minnesota or a kid from Long Island are going to have the same opportunities. And the community that somebody comes from is, I guess, less important than the community that they're trying to get to. And that the idea that they could all come together and sort of have this shared experience and sort of same sort of array of opportunities is really, really amazing. But there certainly are many, many people who've come through the system and taken advantage and gained from all of NCSY's different programs. Let's zero in for a moment, because we could talk forever, hours upon hours and days upon days, about everybody who's come through the NCSY system, really even just the people that we know in common. But let's zero in for a moment on a smaller segment. There are people who have been sort of superstars within the NCSY system, and then there are people who have become superstars from their NCSY days out into the world at large. Can you talk a little bit about, maybe some former NCSY participants or NCSY staff members who have gone on and found success in other walks of life?
So I mentioned, thank you, John. I mentioned with Ezra Lightman, Oliver Shalom, that we couldn't even, really scratch the surface. We don't think Reverend Steinig will give us the amount of time to even try. But with that said, I mentioned Rabbi David Katz just a moment ago. Rabbi Moshe Gordon, who was a public school NCSYer that opens up on a high level yeshiva for boys in Tellstone. Rabbi and Rebbetzin Shimon, Kurland, who run Darche Bina. I mentioned Rav Gifter earlier, and Rav Gifter is a famed Talmud. Rav Zev Lef, we all know. We can't ignore that. Mr. Charlie Harari, if you ask Mr. Charlie Harari, how did he get his training? How did he get his training? He'll tell you, because I was an advisor in Central East NCSY, and Rabbi Sally Friedman would put me up front and say, go. And that's how he became the speaker he is today. I personally went through NCSY with a young woman named Alana Wernick. Alana Wernick was a friend, that we did NCSY together. And she became, a head writer, Shomer Shabbos woman, a head writer for The King of Queens, and a producer from season 3 through 9, grew up in Cedarhurst, Long Island. A tremendous individual. There's a another young woman, Barry Mitzman, who has a podcast that the Women of Valor podcast. There's a public school girl who, where would she have ended up if it wasn't for NCSY? Certainly not putting out Women of Valor, podcasts. The list can keep going on and on. Rabbi Menachem Penner of Yeshiva University, the Rosh Yeshiva University, and he'll tell you that he spoke at one of our staff cons a few years ago. And I remember him saying, everything I learned in Chinuch, I learned in NCSY. And I think that was, I think that is the biggest story of it all. The story of it all is that you can't go through NCSY. You can't go through the Jewish community. You can't go through a Jewish synagogue, an Orthodox synagogue. You can't go through any type of different hashkafic. And I'm talking about from Tzioni to modern Orthodox to Yeshivish to Hasidish without finding NCSY alumni and running those communities. John and I have a common NCSY friend, an NCSYer of ours. His name is Mr. Barry Berkowitz. Mr. Barry Berkowitz was a public school boy that grew up in East Meadow, Long Island. His parents had a costume novelty store. It's located in Oceanside. He used to let me go to, go there, and I'd pick up things for my kids before Purim. This is a boy who, didn't really, didn't have a lot as far as Yiddishkeit went. And he ended up going toward David. He ended up marrying a girl from Prospect Park. He ended up being recruited by Google, moved to Palo Alto, California. And he works for Google you know, over there, and he's won, you know, a whole strategic division of Google. And the biggest nachas that John and I both have is that Barry is not just Barry. Barry is, was for many years the gabbai of his shul, and now he's the president of his you know, of his day school in Palo Alto. That's the story of NCSY. A public school junior high school kid who never knew anything about Shabbos and Kashrus is now an executive in one of the biggest companies in the world that all of us utilize and lean on multiple times a day. At the same time, he's the president of the Jewish day school out on the complete other side of the country. That's the power of NCSY. It's not just the Rosh Yeshivas, and it's not just the big stories. It's about the Bulabas, the Jew, the pencil of Jew that comes rising to the top. And you know, we're gonna wrap up in just a minute, but I have to tell you that when, you know, if you can't open up, you can't open up the book called The History of American Orthodox Judaism, the proverbial book of the history of American Orthodox Judaism, and not have a major segment of that book read about NCSY. A massive chapter is going to be dedicated to the impact and the wave upon wave upon wave of influence that NCSY and obviously the OU has had on the Jewish community from every walk of life. And by the way, Rabbi Steve Berg, former national director of NCSY, used to say that the head of the Reformed Youth Movement used to come up to him and he says, by the way, I'm an alum of NCSY. And it's true. We have a major impact on all the aspects of the Jewish community. We inspire, we educate, we guide. That we don't control. And we're proud of where our kids end up. We become good participating members of the Jewish community and the like. We've had some that have ended up on game shows also that are pretty interesting to mention, but I'll leave that alone for a different conversation because I want, you know, maybe Reverend Steiner will give us the opportunity to come back a different time and maybe we'll touch on that. But I want to thank John for taking the time, you know, and I really appreciate the opportunity, Revitson, for giving us to come up here and to speak a few minutes about something that's been a lifelong work of mine and John's and a passion that goes through our blood. Thank you, Revitson.
Thank you, both of you, so much. This was amazing. You shared with us. It was fascinating. It was powerful. You gave us so much information. For me, as a mother, as you know, of NCSY advisors, it was such a special way to celebrate what my kids are doing and how NCSY impacted them and how they were able to be impactful. So I want to thank you both so much because I know this is such a busy time. You didn't even tell everybody what's coming up for NCSY. I know the bike NCSY, I know, is in a couple of weeks. We just wish you so much hatzlacha. Hope to see you at some point when we're all back in the office at the same time. Hope to see you both then. But we want to thank everybody so much for sharing with us. And we wish you all so much hatzlacha. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Reverend Steinig.
Thank you.